Did you have a good New Year? I'm looking forward to knowing what day of the week it is again. It's kind of like that British comedian, you know? It's like they change the names of the days even. It's Boxing Day and Christmas Eve. And what day is it? Like, is the stores open or is the garbage going to get collected? We don't know what day it is. And the only way, I was telling Lori, that I knew for a couple of days there what day it was because we have these vitamin pill boxes that start with Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And as long as I remember to take them, I can remember the day. And then you miss one and then you're just finished. Like, you don't know what you're doing anymore. So bless you. Last week, we had a time to pray with one another, just the prayer team and anointing. And if you weren't here, you missed a great time. Had good testimonies of God's faithfulness and praying for big things in the new year. And I don't want to preach that message again, but I just want to remind you of my three powerful points. But, you know, comes from when you're praying for a vision, praying for this year coming, and I'm going to kind of carry on this morning. But it starts with a good theology. Who is God? What's he like? And just to understand him. And everything we do, as far as the prophetic, as far as preaching, as far as praying, as far as believing for our futures, comes out of a place of knowing God and having a good theology of who he is and how he works in our lives and that he's good. Amen? And everybody's got a theology. It's just some are really terrible and bad. But to have a good theology of who God is and worshiping him and living and serving him. And the second point was to cooperate with God, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit want? It's not about what I want. You know, God, I got a list of 20 things. What does the Holy Spirit want? And then I said, end it with faith, hope. You know, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Hope is the beginning of it. It's evidence of those things. What are you hoping for? And I remember last week just praying for a number of people, things to hope for. And don't lose hope, because that's what our faith is bringing to life, is we trust God. Those things that, you know, that confident expectation of good, it's like, God, we bring that into our life through prayer, through trusting you. And then we walk with God because we have a good theology that allows God to be God in our life. And so this week is kind of a continuation, an ending to that, whatever you want to say, but it ties together with our prayer and fasting week. I think it was last year where I railed on you quite a bit, and we had a really good turnout for our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights. We'll be here. And as Lori said, we break the fast together in our life groups. I don't want to rail on you this week, but just don't excuse yourself from fasting so quick, so easily. I'm working, I'm tired, it's dark, it's cold, I'm old, I'm young, I'm challenging you to take time to fast. Do a liquid fast. Break the cycle in your life. Take power over your stomach. It's, you know, we were talking about it the other day. Sorry, this is all for free, but you know, people who don't learn to deal with their finances, tithe, generosity, faithful, get out of debt, live within your, you know, I could preach the whole thing. They never know the freedom and the joy of actually being on top of the finance, actually enjoying the blessing of God. It's always just this, and I want to say the same with fasting in every area of your life. To get on top of food, to get on top of unforgiveness, to get on top of worry, whatever, to ask God just to, and it's a simple act, but it's not simple. And by Wednesday nights when we are here, if I go by the last years, it's like, you know, okay, Lord, we're finished, have your way. But it speaks a better word to just take authority over this flesh. I said I wasn't going to preach it, but do it. Smarten up. Fast. and pray. And again, you know, we made these big pots of beet borscht this yesterday, and we're like, what are we doing? We're going to freeze this stuff or something. We're put it in the trunk of the car and leave it outside. I don't know. It's like, but it's like, devil, I'm taking control. God is with me, and I'm going to serve the Lord. And it's like, it's just, you know, I said it's a simple, it's not so simple, but it's like, it's just a simple way to say, I'm on top of this thing. And I would say it about finance, and I would say it about our hearts, and I'd say it about our attitudes, and I'd say it about, it's like, we are not beasts that are just dragged around from one lust to the next. We are children of God, and He lives in us. And we can choose forgiveness, and we can choose health, and we can choose righteous living, and we can choose repentance, and we can choose the love of God and put our faith and our trust in Him. Amen. So let's do it this week. And if you can come, I know it's not everybody can do it. If you can come tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, we pray for an hour. We are careful to keep the time. It just, there's a lot of time when you fast. You know, that's what I was trying to remember, what I was trying to say earlier. I started down that rabbit hole. Is, you know, how much time we spend going and getting food, preparing the food, cooking the food, eating the food, cleaning up from the food. It's like, that's all we do sometimes, it feels like. And if you cut that out of your life, those moments, hours, whatever that is, there's a lot of time to seek God. And the reason we come together in the evening is that we encourage one another. Don't just sit at home and look at your TV or worry about how hungry you are or whatever. We come together and we take an hour and we just seek God. And as Lori already said through the announcements, a good word came from Corey earlier in December. And he used the example of Nehemiah. And we've kind of taken that theme from his word. It was a good word. And rather than asking God for our needs, asking God, you know, bless this and help that, they fasted and they prayed and they say, God, speak. What's your plan? You know, before they took trowels and weapons and started rebuilding the city, God, what's your plan? And so as we start this year as leaders, we're asking God, what's your plan? And it doesn't just come from Lori and I or Pete and I or the deacons and I. It comes from us hearing God. And as we seek Him in this year, what is that passion you have for us? Since Lori shared in the prayer meeting this morning, but just, here am I, send me. And we've called the week, you know, Thy will be done. What's God's will for this church and then for the city and for us? What's His will? So, enough for the week of prayer and fasting. Join us if you can. This morning, I've called this message, Look at the Stars, and it comes from Genesis 15. As I said, it kind of ties from last week, because we have to have a good understanding of who God is. And I'll just read the one verse. We'll get, God willing, more time, and we can look at it. But He said, He took him outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then He said to him, so shall your offspring be. And I could read more and we'll get there. But the Bible says, Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him. And we'll get to Hebrews in a minute. Hebrews chapter 11, the hero chapter of all the men of faith. And just I want to just highlight a couple of words there. But this week, and I felt it praying, and I praying it for this morning, but there's somebody in this room, and I appreciated the testimonies. But what I feel is someone in this room needs to be taken outside the tent and told to look at the stars again, reminded of the promises of God. If you know the story of Abraham, I'm going to really mix up this message this morning, but let me just stay here, is his story as an old man. The angel comes, his name is Abram. He tells him, you're going to be the father of nations. And it took a lot of years for that promise to come to pass. And he changes his name. And, before he did that, he does this. He says this. He says, come and look at the stars. And then later, he changes his name to Abraham, father of nations, great father of many. And for how many years, Abraham, like from 75 to 100, Abraham had to hear his name, Abraham, father of nations. He has no kids. He tries himself, and we end up with Ishmael and the problems. But every day he would hear his name, father of nations, father of many. And every night, and if he lived in this part of the world, there's a lot of night, he could look up at the stars and, okay, I don't know how it's going to happen. But God gave him those reminders again and again, and it took years. And I'll share my point, however it fits. It's like he tried his best to help God. He tried his best to, okay, maybe we can do this. How many times do we try to help God and things just don't go the way they should? And so what I felt, now what I wanted to encourage you in the beginning of this year, and it ties with praying last week and trusting God, is you need to look at the stars again. You need to come out of your tent. I don't know what your tent represents. I don't know what seems as good as dead to you. Like that's what the Bible says about Abraham. And he's as good as dead. He's past any birthing of children and his wife. He believed God. And he believed God when he gave him a son later and he had to sacrifice. And he believed God. He believed he could raise him from the dead. That believing God and trusting God doesn't end. And if we get to Hebrews in a minute, all those guys, they believed God, but they never saw the city. They never saw what they were hoping and waiting for, but they believed him. Yeah. And it was counted as righteousness. And that's why Abraham's called the father of our faith. We don't go back to Moses, we go back to Abraham, man of faith. And he believed God. And I'm praying this morning that you and I, as we start this new year, I don't know what promises God's made to you, what's not yet come to pass, what you're holding on to, what you're praying for this coming season. Some of you, I heard some of the prayers this week, last week when we were praying. Then let's remind one another. Let's look at the sky. Count the stars if you can. That little picture at the back of my slide, there's a million of them you could choose, but it's like, just count the stars on that screen. God says, I'm going to make you a mighty, mighty nation, Abraham. So what's God's promise to you? What has he spoken to you that he's asking you to trust him? He's asking you to wait on him. Then I challenge you to do it. Be faithful. Be trusting. And, this isn't a sermon about money, but why not? We've had a blessed, amazing year financially. Russell can give us the reports. We can share whatever. You can go online. You can find anything you want. God is so faithful. And as you look back, you see the goodness of God in our life. And I trust that you do that. I trust that you see his faithfulness. And at the same time, there's things to take hold of. And at our conference some years ago, the message was contending and content. Contending and content. And it's the same for this house, for this church. It's the same for your family, same for my family. We are content in God, but then there's more. There's more of his call, more of his faithfulness. And coming back to money again, now that you brought it up, that I challenge you. What God's put on your heart to do, do it. And if it's, you know, I'm going to get to this dream stuff in a minute, but if it's stuff that you can do, just let me just read the quote I have here. It's better than what I'm trying to say. Though he's as good as dead, what seems as good as dead in your life? Your marriage, your womb, your finances, your job, your ministry, your call, your family. I don't know. What seems as good as dead area of your life that God wants to remind you of his faithfulness? Here's the quote. Helen Keller once asked, what could be worse than being born blind? And she quickly replied, having sight but no vision. And I like this quote from Frank DiMaggio, head of MFI. He's passed away this year, but part of the leadership of the connection of churches that we're part of. He said this, don't be a mundane person with a commonplace, small, average vision that anyone can do. Don't reach for things you can easily, tangibly put your hands on. Don't settle for the convenient. Stretch, reach, dream. Get out of your tent and see the stars. Yeah. Amen? I know Alberta cold winters. We're coming into January, February. There's a reason they call February Mental Health Month. And we've taken time and spoken on that and had people share. I remember back when Micah Brown was here and sharing the challenges. And if you live with folk who are challenged in the area of depression or struggling, you know what this season means. And I'm saying to you and me, come out of your tent. Come on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Get out of your tents and come and pray. Let's ask God to expand our vision. Let's ask God to show us his plan, yeah, his purpose, his desire for our life. Yeah. Amen? Amen? It's no use having sight if you have no vision. You have no vision for your family. Look, I don't want to get onto this theme, but I'm getting onto it. Dads, lead your homes. Yeah. Thank you, Jeremy. Anybody else? I'm open. Talking to me. Lead your homes, man. Your kids, I've said this 1,000 times, they will beg you to come to church. They'll beg you to be part of this. They love coming to this place. I've heard 12 of them say, this is a church where you run. Even if it drives me crazy. But the day's going to come when you're going to be begging them, if you mess this thing up. And you say, oh, you're putting guilt on me. Yes! Lead your families. Set an example. Like, if you want them to bleed, you must hemorrhage. Like, you know the stories, the generations. You know what we tolerate, they celebrate. You know all the preachers. Man, I don't need to preach this stuff again. But as we face this new year, man, lead your family. Mothers. If he's slack, smack him. If you're single, lead your home. I appreciate her testimony this morning. Thank God for people that come alongside. Thank God for church, for family, who stand with single parent families. Thank you for your faith. I see what goes through. Russell sends me the stuff. Thank you for being kind. Helping, but let's get a vision for our life, yeah, for your family, for your grandkids, for your seniors. I don't know, just God wants to speak to us today. We don't just take communion, little bread, it's what Jesus did on the cross, yeah, set us free, yeah, live a big life. Not some puny, little, pathetic, mundane, stupid little life. Yeah, my savings are growing. My RRSPs, whatever they're called. I got some RIFs. You know, I'm going to have a great retirement and drop dead. Great. Good job. And so as we pray this week, and I'm asking you to pray, let God speak to us. What's his desire for our life this year? Sometimes it can be small things. Sometimes it can be amazing things. Sometimes as a church, what is he calling us out of this building into a new one? What? I don't care. What does God want? And as you get older, you know, you're tempted, you want to shrink your life down. Abraham, you know, how's this going to be? Walking around, father of nations, look at the stars again. How can it be? How can it be? I don't know. I said it last week. Nothing is impossible with God. If there's one message from Christmas, it's that. So if somebody needed to hear that, I pray this morning he'll take that word and just bring it to life in your heart. When I was reading Abraham's story this week, I thought, no, this is how I want to start 2026. I want to look at the stars. Here's a really stupid example. When we first moved here in 2015 to plant this church, Carl and Mean are sitting back there. I love those two guys. They, by faith, stepped out of their company and their business and came to Canada and stood with us, and we planted this church. 15 years ago. And I remember being here in that year, if you remember, you think we have snow this year. You should have seen 2010. And we were out on that farm where we planted the church, in that old farmhouse. And the snow was piled up. The only thing that we did right that year is we paid the guy $200 a month to clean snow, and he got took. He came back begging many times to change that contract. We were kind, but I was like, sorry, buddy. His forklift could not lift the pile. I mean, his bucket couldn't lift it high enough to pile it anymore. Snow was piled everywhere. You had to chisel out this trail to get from the steps. But what I'm remembering is about December, pitch black, feeling kind of like this. Snow everywhere, living in that farmhouse, planting the church. And Carl and Mean and us and a few others who was around, we decided we're going to be skiers that year. We bought all the equipment, and we went out to Rabbit Hill. The reason I'm saying is it's burned into my soul. That first time we sit on those little lousy chair lifts, you know, you go up. It's like when our friend came, he said, we're going skiing. He says, well, where's the hills? No, in Alberta, we ski in the holes. Everything's flat as far as you can see, and then you drive into a hole. Okay, this is where we'll ski. But I can remember coming up out of that valley on that chairlift, and the first time, it felt like the first time, the sun hit our faces. And I'm like, okay, I can live here. I'm going to make it. I'm going to survive. And Carl and Mean were right there. Me and you were a skier. Now you've gone to cross-country skiing, so the Lord forgive you for that. But I like Gaffigan. He's like, anyhow, I won't go there. But I'm saying to you today, somebody needs to have that sunshine hit them in the face. You're going to make it. You need to look at the stars again. You need to see the promise of God for your life, for the church, for your family, for your ministry, for your finance, whatever it is. And if God speaks to you about forgiving someone or dealing with a relationship or blessing someone or I don't even want to name things, be faithful to do it. And sometimes you can't hear those things until you shut this body down. You shut this God of your stomach down. And you say, I'm going to hear what God says to my life. And so I'm challenging you to do that. Some points about Abraham's life. Let's move on. Too long. So in Hebrews chapter 10, you can go to the next slide. Verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back. And he's referring just before he starts. Is there some water somewhere here? Here. Marianne's kicking down the floor. Sherry, I mean, sorry. You guys. So when you're talking about shrinking back, because as we Go to Hebrews 11 if you got a Bible. Just go there. It's the whole chapter about the heroes, about Abraham, all the things I've already spoken about. But he starts it in chapter 10 with those words. We are not of those who shrink back. We'll get to the good stuff in a minute. But some examples, there's too many of them in the Bible. Israel sends out the scouts. You remember? Those 10 lousy guys. We call them lousy, but they're us. They see the giants. They see the mess. And they're like, they come back and say, no way. We can't do this. They just shrunk back. It's like, imagine what God has done for them up till then. Imagine what they've seen. Imagine how he's led Israel. Put that in perspective in your own life. What miracles have you seen? You know, when Lori asked for testimonies, we're all slow and dull this morning, myself included. I'm trying to, okay, and I could name about 50 miracles this year that God did for us, financial and health and family and life, and you as well. But the Israelites forget that. And they're like, okay, we'll send some spies in there. And it's too much. And they shrink back. How about King Saul offers unauthorized sacrifice? If you read those verses, which I'm not going to right now, but he feared the people. So they feared the giants. This king, Saul, feared the people. And he uses that as an excuse. So how many times have we feared people? Feared ourselves, feared the bank, feared whatever, the government, I don't know. How many times have we shrunk back from sharing the gospel, talking to someone, ministering, doing, being? But we're not of those who shrink back. The rich young ruler, he's the guy I always, you know, go after. And some, you know, people say, oh, yeah, they're rich. That's the problem. No, this guy, his problem was he's like the rest of us. I got big news for you. If you live in Canada and you drive a car and you have running water, you're in the top 97% of the world. And when Jesus asks him to give, asks him to sell, he shrunk back. And I don't know where he ended up. Like, we don't read about him again in the Bible. And Jesus never chased after him and said, well, okay, just give half or do something. He let him walk away sad. We don't know what his story was, how maybe he came around, I don't know. But we get to read about Peter, John, and James, and those guys. Because they did something. They took some steps. They cost their life, but man, they had a life. And that guy, I don't know who he was, he had some wealth, he did some good stuff, I don't know. But he just shrinks out of the picture. And I'm asking you, what are you shrinking back from? What has the devil been dumbing you down? Shouting at you like a Goliath in your face. Like, what is this year facing you look like? And the enemy's there, he's hollering, and what, I don't know. And I'm saying, we're not going to be the ones that go quiet. We're not. Put up the next slide. But he says this. We're not of those who shrink back. We are those who believe and are saved. Hallelujah. Abraham left his home. 75-year-old guy. What's God asking you to give, to serve, to minister, to let go of, to release, to, you know, how many messages you want me to preach this morning? Do something. Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit. We know about them. And Peter stepping out of the boat, those are good examples of people who didn't shrink back. What's your testimony? I can share you a few testimonies of myself. I don't want to share the bad ones. I've already said that. There's enough of those. But I could share some of the good ones of where we just said, you know what? Devil, you're such a liar. I'm not doing that. I'm not. I'm going to trust God. Then I've shared my testimony over my lifetime. The times in fear of losing my reward in heaven. I can name you about four or five times when we gave away everything we owned to follow Jesus. And do I look like I'm starving? Huh? He's such amazing faithful. He's so good. And the testimonies you heard this morning, you know, I was smiling at Amber's testimony because, you know, worry and this and that. But God was faithful. And I think, you see, worry works. Everything you worried for never happened. Keep worrying. No, but just the faithfulness of God to provide. How many of you have that testimony? You don't know how. Yeah, it's just about everybody in the room. You don't even know how. And I've shared too many of my own testimony. Like tax man, even God uses the tax man. Some tax refund comes. It's like, hallelujah. And then the need comes and you say, oh, no hallelujahs. But thank God there was some money to pay that. Sometimes you just see God's faithfulness in the provision. Yeah. And then there's those times when it's just miraculous, bountiful, blessing upon blessing. Don't shrink back in your faith. You're believing for your family, you're praying for your kids, your ministry, your call, whatever it is. Don't shrink back. And as a church, and I'm going to end here, as a church, as we pray and fast this week, we're going to ask, what is God saying to his church? Us, together, his church. As we look at this year, we got lots of plans. We are going to do a series on Ephesians starting next week. We got plans, but we're saying, God, what's your plan for this house? What's the plan for this family, for my family, your family? Let's ask God together and seek him. I've already talked about these guys who stepped forward, and I don't want to say more, but in conclusion, in Ephesians, or Hebrews, sorry, 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's a verse to hide in your heart while we're praying. And then Revelation 22, as I mentioned earlier, as we ended the year in our Bible reading, 22 verse 10, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still be evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. And what I want to end with there is, it's up to you and me. Choose who you're going to serve. Choose how you're going to live out this year. Is it going to be a year of faith, a year of hope, a year of trusting, a year of being righteous, a year of holiness? Is it going to be a year that's pleasing to God? It's your choice and mine. And Jesus' warning is, man, just I'm coming, and I'm coming soon. And that's got to stir us to better, stir us to more, stir us to serving him and his kingdom and being part of it more than ever. So that's my prayer. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come so we close the service. May God speak this week through his word, through our time together as we pray and seek him. Will you agree with me at least with that? Yeah. Oh, will you?
Yes.
Thank you. So Father, this morning, I thank you that you reminded Abraham of the promise you made to him. And I pray this morning that if someone's here that needs to look at the stars again, they need to come out of their tent, out of their little worlds, whatever that represents, out of our own abilities, and see the stars again for our life, for our ministry, for our family, for our finance, for our church, whatever it is. God, may you do it by your Holy Spirit. May you show us a bigger picture of your plans for our life. I pray that. I pray, God, encouragement. I pray strength. I pray blessing this morning in Jesus' name, that you've defeated death, hell, and the grave, and you're coming back again. I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Welcome, Lord.